कृष्ण के बारे में कुछ बोलो। यदि हमारा प्रतिस्नेह थके सबा का तब कृष्ण व्यतिरिक्त ना गाय भैया चैतन्य महापुरुष सर बिफोर ही टुक संन्यास सो मेनी डिवोटीज वुड कम टू हिम एंड एक्सप्रेस सो मच अफेक्शन एंड ही टोल्ड इफ यू एक्चुअली वांट टू बी अफेक्ट इफ यू एक्चुअली लव मी देन यू ओनली टॉक ऑफ कृष्ण डोंट टॉक ऑफ एनी अदर सब्जेक्ट सो We should do that. Tonight's topic is make a career in Krishna consciousness, something like that. What was it?
Prospects and perks of a career in Krishna consciousness.
Prospects and perks. What are the perks?
What are you going to get?
What is in it for me? All right. Let's talk about it. What are the prospects and perks of a career in Krishna consciousness? Well, as I've stated in one of the books that I've written, I have here called Brahmacharya in Krishna consciousness, you can join our Krishna consciousness movement as a brahmachari and we offer you long hours, hard work and no pay. So sign up here. Who will come? Why should anyone come? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Betan More Diya Krishna Prema Dhan, that you give me the payment of love of Krishna. This is the payment. There's no payment, actually. The idea of perks, the very idea of perks, is just the opposite to bhakti, because bhakti means I am Krishna's, like a slave, Das. We have this word. Every Vaishnav, upon initiation, they're given the name Das. That is a regulated principle in Das. So Das means, the English concept of slave, not exactly, but more or less. It means a menial servant. Dasavan Acharan Nicho. That's about brahmachari life. That is described, Brahmachari Gurukul Evasan Danto Gurur Hitam Acharan Dasavan Nicho Guru Sudrida Sohridam. That a Brahmachari lives in the Gurukul under the care of the Guru and he behaves as Acharan Dasavan Nichaha, as a menial servant with an attitude of firm friendship towards the Guru. That means acting for the Guru's interest also. It means to give up self-interest. We've often heard this in spiritual circles, that we should give up the ego, the sense of aham, I. So this is affected by considering aham Krishna Dasa. I am Krishna's, I am the servant of Krishna. This idea to be a servant is not very much laudable in traditional Indian culture. No one wants to be a servant. The idea, you'll see, even someone, they're running their own, they have some little pan shop, something like this. But if someone asks him, ask his wife, they may ask her, what work does your husband do? He's not doing work. He has his own, work means you're working for someone, but they're quite proud of it. In this sense of independence, because only in the caste system, only the Shudras, they work for someone. Everyone else is some sense of independence. I remember many times I quote this, in Surat I once saw an advertisement, Nokari Charo, Vyapar Karo, Bank Loan Le Lo. That was the advertisement. Take a bank loan, start your business, and stop being a servant, and run your own business. The idea that one should be independent. Materially speaking, that is a more respectable position to be independent. Although in modern India people are very proud that, oh, I work for a multinational company, like probably most of you are doing. But working for a multinational, I'm working for Citibank or IBM or something like this. What it means that you've become the servant of some cow eater somewhere. You don't even know who he is. I mean, at least in traditional culture, even in any culture throughout the world, those who were employed, or at least they knew who they were working for. You don't even know who you're working for. It's some you don't even know the name. These big corporations, you don't even know who you're working for. It's just some big impersonal company, and you do your work and you get a check, and you spend the money and you think, oh, and so I'm earning so much money. And when you come back to India, you are prestigious. I've seen, I often go to Dubai, Bahrain, all these countries. So there are so many laborers there. I mean, there's a lot of middle class Indians, and there are many laborers there also from Bangladesh and India. And they're practically, they're almost like slaves. Many times they don't even get paid, and there's not much they can do about it. And they work hard in construction in the hot sun. It's like 50 degrees Celsius, and they're still out there. Sometimes they collapse in the heat. So they're really treated almost like slaves. But when they go back to Bangladesh, they're big man in their village, because they're working overseas. So in modern India, the whole idea is that how you can work, how you can get a job, how you can get a, what is your career, and everyone's in anxiety how to get ahead and be a success. And people are miserable, predictably, because aping the Western civilization means you get all the same problems. You think, well, we'll get fancy cars and big buildings and lots of money, but the same problems are being imported into India. We were just saying this morning, myself and Gorky Shaw here, how around, who's been to Ahmedabad? Have you seen our ISKCON temple there? Recently? The whole area around there, we were just saying this morning, what's the difference between that area and America? The only difference is that in America people mostly speak English, and in that area of Ahmedabad they speak Gujarati. Otherwise, there's right opposite our temple, there's Big Bazaar, chain of stores going up all over India, and big high-rise apartments and fancy roads. I mean, fancy for India, and with fancy cars. Mostly people have all new cars, and so people think this is wonderful. But all the problems are coming, all the same social problems. I know so many people in India, and mostly everyone's career oriented, and both husband and wife are working, and so many children, they have serious psychological problems, depression, schizophrenia, suicidal tendencies, because it's the same kind of society as in the West. The middle class society is in the West. A drug abuse, that's also, there's so many things. Because they're very result-oriented, career-oriented. Both husband and wife should work and make lots of money. And then the kids are at... the kids come home and there's no mother there, there's no fresh food there. They can go and play some video games and watch some porno on the internet, and this is their life. It's at school, it's competitive, and they come home, there's no mother there, and when the mother comes home, there's no time for them. They don't even know their father hardly, because half the time he's out of station. And so they have a great career, but miserable life. So what's the use? The whole social structure in India is breaking down now because of this idea that we should get ahead and make lots of money, and to hell with everyone else. This is modern India. That people don't care for their parents increasingly. They don't care. that I have my own career, I have my own life to lead. They're advertising this. In the advertisements you see that my life is my own, something like that. They have something for cell phones or something, they're advertising like this. And I saw in some, the Telegraph, Calcutta newspaper, they had on there was some article, some major article, they said that single girls have all the fun. In other words, don't get married and be a prostitute, have fun. Have fun means be a prostitute, that's what it means. So, but where's the fun? The fun lasts as long as your body is attractive. And then, I know my sister, she was one of the, in the first wave of feminists in England, and she had more boyfriends than probably she could even count, keep count of, what to speak of anyone else. But now she's past the age of being attractive, and no friends, no one cares for, no one respects, no children, nothing. So it may have seemed like fun, but now she's just miserable. So we're so much anxious for a career. There's another meaning to the word career in English. Career we generally think of as a, how would we define that? Our job prospects, or our attempt to, by following a particular profession, to become materially successful, because that is maybe the meaning of career, that's the definition of career. Another meaning of career, it's something like skid. You must know, you skid your car in the winter on the ice. So when a car skids like that on the ice, that's called careering. You know that? That's another meaning of the word career. It's out of control and you're trying to get it in control. And if you don't get it in control, then you'll be in the newspaper tomorrow morning. Or in the hospital. Either on the death list or on the... Then all your career, all you saved up will go to this... What's the name of this hospital we just saw here? Reed Rush. Hospital? Rush Hospital. Yes. So then you can enhance the Rush Hospital doctor's career. So that's another meaning of the word career, to skid out of control. And so you might just get it under control, but you might just not also. So actually the whole of material life is a career in the second sense. We're trying to get on top of it, isn't it? We're trying to get in control of our lives. But there are other forces working which may, because everyone else is trying to have a career, and a career means being in competition with others. So everyone else below you, your present peers, and above you, it's like constant competition. Though you have workplace ethics of being polite and respectful, but the modern man has mastered the technique of talking very nicely and smiling and sticking the knife deep into your back. This is going on. So we're all careering from body to body to body. This is material life. Now we're we might be, if we work very hard and we get the breaks, we might have a very successful career as a businessman or a software engineer, or that's the most popular thing, a doctor or something like that. And in your next life you might be a very successful monkey. Successful monkey means he's the one who can go like this and the other monkeys run away. That's a successful monkey. Or a successful dog means when people see him they turn around the other way and he's good at barking. Or you can be a successful worm in stool. They're enjoying life very much. This stool is the best stool. I'm in the best stool. I'm the best worm in stool. So everyone's thinking like that. Ishvaraham aham bhogi siddho ham balavan suki. I am the controller. In this piece of stool I am the greatest worm, and no worm can say anything to me. I am the controller. I am the bhogi. I am the enjoyer. Siddhoham. Everything about my life is perfect. I am stool, stool, stool. Simple enjoying. Balavan. No one can shift me from my position. I am sukhi. Who can be more successful and happy than me? We may be laughing, but this is your future. This is the future of every jiva in the material world. We have that saying, from hero to zero. Oh, aaj ka raja, kal ka kutta. That's the way it is. That means today's king is tomorrow's dog. Just. Aaj ka badshah, kal ka bandar. So, this is exactly what is going on in the material world. But people don't know. They think, oh, I have to get ahead. I have to see my career. How I end. And if we come and say, think, we're also saying, think of your future. But people say, no, we have to be realistic. What is all this chanting Hare Krishna? How will that help you? You have to be realistic. You have to get a job, you have to work hard, you have to bring in money, you have to get a big house, you have to get a big car, you have to get a big life insurance, and you have to arrange for your funeral that costs another $20,000. You have to be realistic. Krishna consciousness is actual realism, that beyond the grave, life beyond the grave, that we do not die when the body dies. If we can simply consider this fact, then we'll actually be realistic, because we're living a spot life, as Prabhupada used to call it. We're just, this life, this career, it's just a skid in a long journey. Just like if you drive from Chicago to California, long drive, so in the course of the drive you might skid. So it's only a short skid, but this is, material life means one skid after another, one padam padam yad vipadam natesham. In every step, in every life, there's simply danger. The whole just like you're saying, this corporate life means the rat race. Every rat is trying to eat every other rat. So it's like that. If you see it in material life, the bird is trying to eat the worm, and while the bird is eating the worm, the cat comes up behind and eats the bird. And while the cat is chasing after the bird, behind, the dog is coming to chase the cat. So like this, in material life, every creature, jivo jivasya jivanam, one is eating another, one is consuming another. It's a nasty world. And we read about and we see on TV Iraq and New Orleans and 9/11 and all this, and we think, oh, that's so horrible. Hope it doesn't happen to me. It will happen, definitely will happen, either by explosion or by flooding, or definitely we're all going to have to die and go on to another career. So Krishna consciousness means to be sane. Anyone who is not Krishna conscious can be understood to be insane, because they are upper swartha parayana. Swartha. Everyone should be interested in swartha. What is my self-interest? But we should know what is our actual self-interest. Our self-interest is not to become a badshah in this life and a bandar in the next. That's not our self-interest. Actually, badshah in this life means bandar in this life also. Just jumping like a monkey. That's all. We think I'm so important. I'm the leader here. I'm so great. But it's the same consciousness as a dog or a monkey. I shall be very big. I shall be very great. So Krishna consciousness means to become sane, to understand actually who we are. What is our self-interest? If we don't know what is our actual self-interest, then we must be apaswartha parayana, which means attached to that which is contrary to our own self-interest. So the first thing we should ascertain in a career, when you want to go for a career, first of all, there's this Kavi saying, start with the goal in mind. You heard that? Kavi's out of fashion now, but we learned all this in ISKCON about 10, 15 years ago. Start with the goal in mind. So what is our goal? You want to be a doctor? Okay, then you have to study science and study hard, because you don't become a doctor just by singing a few cinema songs. You have to study hard and get good grades. And after many years of slogging away and studying, if you've got enough up here, then you can become a doctor. Of course, you have to pay the fees. Usually you have to have willing parents who are willing to pay the bills also, at least in India. In this country, the kids pay for themselves mostly, isn't it?
They get loans.
They take loans and then they spend 20 years paying it back. And then they can finally buy a $1 million apartment or something. Some little $1 million pigeonhole overlooking Lake Michigan. But it's $1 million, it's not just any pigeonhole, but it's a $1 million pigeonhole. And they had to work damn hard to get it. And it's on the 100th floor, so if life gets too miserable, there's an easy solution. As is often resorted to, unfortunately. So, if you want to become a doctor, if you want to become an engineer or computer engineer or whatever, you have to have some aim in mind, isn't it? See what is your aim and work towards it. But we should ascertain, first of all, is it a worthwhile goal? Should we put all our time and energy into it? Because certainly to become a success in this material world, you have to put your heart into it, isn't it? You can't be a half-hearted doctor. I mean, you just don't get the grades. You have to study hard for many years. And when you're on the job also, you can't be, just fiddling around, and you have to be very attentive, especially if you're doing surgery. You have to be extremely attentive. If you're doing heart surgery, brain surgery, this is the top end of the medical profession. So, brain surgeon, there's no room for mistakes. You have to be very much focused on what you're doing. So, first of all, we should consider that what is our actual goal? What do we want? Why should one aspire to be a doctor or anything else for that matter? Well, the idea is that by doing so you get plenty of money and it's prestigious also. These two things, isn't it? And then when you have money and prestige, then you get married, and then you have children, and then you're happy. That's the idea, isn't it? And you can have, and with money you can have all the perks, that word is there, that go with it, such as a nice car to sit in the traffic jam in, nice apartment, and you can buy your wife expensive saris, or she probably won't want saris, but mini skirts or something like that, or whatever they want to wear. Or she'll buy them for you, maybe, because she has a more successful career. She'll buy you the clothes. So the idea is that you have money, and then you can do what you can buy so many things with it. And the idea is that this will bring happiness. However, if we analyze, we can see that America is the land of the greenback, and there's plenty of them. There's lots of money here, no doubt. But people are not happy. That's one of the first things that Indians notice when they come to America, isn't it? What do you think? That's what they tell me, that life is so different here, and people they don't seem to be very happy. And actually we can see there are sufficient statistics to show that if there's high suicide rates, most of the population at some point in time consults a psychiatrist. That means people are not happy. If you don't go to a psychiatrist, well, what's your problem? I'm too happy. I'm so happy. I'm so contented and happy, and I'm feeling I'm not normal. Well, you would be abnormal. So people have so many psychological problems, drug abuse and divorce, and a society where great worldwide famous cities, Chicago as it's known in India, is famous as the, anyway, we won't talk about him. So famous worldwide reputed cities, but many parts of the cities no respectable person would dare to go there. So this is progress of civilization. This is actually a great civilization. People are not, they've got money, prestige as the world's greatest nation. I also, driving in here, I saw all these big buildings. It's quite impressive. So many big buildings. Big buildings inhabited by people with no peace of mind. And as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that ashantasya kutasukam, where is the happiness for one who has no shanti? Is not possible. So we should consider, what actually are we doing? There's one saying in Sanskritam, gada, what is it? Gadala lekha nyai. It means the sheep's way, the sheep's way of thinking. The sheep, of course, you don't see sheep much in the cities in India, but in Hyderabad you see. They have, even next to the Secunderabad station, I saw sometimes keeping them. Mostly in the rocky areas of MP, AP, and of course in Himalayas, you see people keeping sheep. So it's well known, if you push one sheep through a gate, then all the others will automatically follow, without thinking. Even there's butchers standing on the other side waiting to capture, they'll all go, without thinking. So like that, we're simply following. Everyone is simply, oh yes, we should get lots of money and prestige, and there's a feeling that this should make us happy, isn't it? Because if you have a nice car compared to one on which the Ranjit was saying that I was commenting on his car there in Prabhupada village, and he said, well, the main color is Dolby. This kind of the when the paint gets scratched, you put some spray on it to cover it. So then that's the main, if that's the main color on your car, you can understand you're not materially successful. So you can, the feeling is that, yeah, it would be better. I have this broken down old car. If I had a new car, that would make me more happy. Or I'm living in this miserable little house where all the plumbing is broken and the heating system doesn't work properly and it's a bad neighborhood. If I would move to a better neighborhood, I'd be happy. So getting material acquisitions, it certainly makes life more comfortable. If we have a house in a good area, what is called a respectable area, and the the plumbing works and the heating system works and there's a nice lawn and a nice garden. Well, that would certainly be better than living in a broken down old tenement. But it doesn't bring to the peace and satisfaction to the core of the heart. That's why we find that even people who have got everything going for them, they've got money, they've got prestige, they've got nice house, nice position, respected within the community, they're also not, internally, they're not satisfied at all. That's why it's common in America that people, even they're driving along and even someone makes a little infringement or they just drive in a... Why should they do that? Why should they be so frustrated that they can kill anyone for such a small thing? Doesn't it mean they're extremely frustrated? So what is the use of this whole society? First we should consider, what is our goal of life? And we should consider that this materialistic society, for all its apparent progress, has failed to deliver to human society what it actually needs. Human society is organized so that we can get roti kapra makan, these basic necessities, food, clothing, and shelter. But human needs are more than that, and America is the epitome of that. America is the evidence of that. That, as is stated in the Bible, man cannot live by bread alone. We need more, because we are more. We are not simply the body. If simply bodily necessities, fulfilling them, was enough to satisfy human beings, then Americans should be satisfied, but they're not. Or you may say mental and intellectual satisfaction should be there, but for that there's also no shortage of computer games, TV, and books and magazines on every subject imaginable and even unimaginable. They've invented so many things. But still, people are not satisfied. This suggests that Indriyani prani ahur, indriyebhyo parang manaha, manasastu para buddhe, yo buddhe paratastu saha. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, that there are the senses, but beyond the senses, above the senses, is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence, and above even the intelligence is the soul. So lack of knowledge of the soul means we don't actually know who we are. Our highest need is unfulfilled. Therefore, even though the needs of the body, mind, and intelligence are filled, not only to full, but to surplus, there's too much. There's too much facility for enjoyment. But still, people are dissatisfied, highly dissatisfied, because the needs of the soul are not fulfilled. So, career in Krishna consciousness means to understand what is the actual goal of life. That simply fulfilling the needs of the body, mind, and intellect, that is not the goal of life. Rather, we should understand that we have no intrinsic connection with America or India or this body or anything in this material world, that our intrinsic connection is with Krishna, and that in this human form of life, this is particularly meant for re-establishing the connection with Krishna by the process of bhakti yoga, and this should be the goal of our life. And side by side with that, as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, that Sharira yatra pichate na prasidhyate karmanaha. That everyone should do some work, because without doing work, no one can maintain the body. But one should work to live and not live to work. One should work to live. One should maintain the body, because the body is to be used for the higher purpose of understanding that I am Krishna Das. I am the servant of Krishna. I am meant to serve Krishna. I'm not meant to serve this body or even my family or my country. All these, we may think I am a great servant of my country, but our position in this country will not remain. We have to leave, we have to die. Even this country, this will not stay. Everything in the material world will be destroyed in due course of time. But our eternal relationship is with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Loving relationship with Him, which in this material world we try to have a career with the idea that we'll have family and we'll be satisfied like that. But this is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as asat sainya. We resort to family members and fellow countrymen with the idea that they will protect us, but they cannot protect us. At the time of death, we leave with our karma fal. And what is our consciousness at the time of death? Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram tantame vaita kontaya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Everyone should know this verse. What is the import of this verse? That according to our consciousness, at the time of death, we get another body. Or if our consciousness is fully Krishna conscious, that I am Krishna's. I am not a product of this material world. I am not American, I am not Indian. I am Krishna's servant. Then we go to Krishna. This is the perfection of Krishna conscious career. The materialistic career, we simply try to make ourselves big, but in Krishna conscious we understand Krishna alone, He is big. I am intrinsically His servant. I am small by nature. And the attempt to make myself big is an attempt to imitate Krishna. That means it is simply a manifestation of foolishness, because we can never be anywhere near as big as Krishna. So actual sanity is to understand that we are very, very, very tiny in relationship to Krishna, but that He is very, very merciful, and He allows us to engage in His service. So actual success in life is to take to Krishna consciousness. That means our life should be centered on Krishna, whatever else we may be doing. We can offer you a career like this as a renounced monk. You can also take to that. If you're unmarried, you may consider that. If you're married, you may consider it later. Now if you're married, the responsibility is there. You should go through with that. But please consider that your responsibility in family life is certainly to provide roti kapra makan for wife and children. But over and above that, your responsibility is, as described by Lord Rishabhdev, Namochi adhya samapeta mrityam guru na sasyat sajano na sasyat janani pithata na sasyat janani na sasyat devang na tatsyan na pating na sasyan Namochi adhya samapeta mrityam. One should not become, Lord Rishabhdev says, one should not become a guru or an associate or relative. One should not become a father, a mother, or accept respect from others. One should not become a father. I've already said that. A husband. Patingna said. Yeah. Husband, king, like this. One should not establish any relationship of superiority with others. One should not accept dependence unless he is able to deliver them from birth and death. That is the most important duty. One may be a very good father and provide all facilities, but unless one instructs the children how to be free from birth and death, he becomes guilty of neglect. That will not be not in the court of law, but in the karmic court. One has to be judged for that. It is the highest duty. So to be free from birth and death, to help others to become free, one himself has to know how to become free. That's why in Vedic culture, it is the duty of every person to approach a guru, to understand what is my actual purpose of life. My actual purpose of life is not simply to provide food, clothing and shelter, which even the animals are doing. Then what is the difference between a human being and an animal? Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanam etat pashubhe naranam. Humans and animals both eat, sleep, mate and defend. So, dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesham. In human life, what is the difference between human and animal? Dharma. Therefore, dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. A human being, if he does not adhere to dharma, is only an animal. A plus B equals C. Animal plus dharma equals... Or human being is an animal, ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha. Plus dharma makes him a human being. So, human being minus dharma equals dvipadda pashu, two-legged animal. That's all. What is the difference between a human being and an animal? There are two possible differences. If the human being follows dharma, then he's actually a human being. An animal is not following dharma. And the other way it can be seen, the difference between a human being and an animal, if they don't follow dharma, the difference is animal has four legs, human being has two legs. Otherwise, you may have big, big buildings. What is the difference? The rats also build their holes. The birds also build their nests. It's the same propensity. So, Krishna consciousness means to develop the best career. How one can actually develop eternal life full of bliss, even in this life, with full knowledge. More important knowledge even than being a doctor or an engineer, understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, answering the most important questions of life. Who am I? Ke ami, kene ame jare tapatroi. This Sanatan Goswami asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries? Adhyatmik, adhi bhutik, adhi daivik. We have so many miseries. Our own body. This body, we are looking to the body for pleasure. But the body is sharira vyadhi mandiram, the very abode of disease. Has anyone ever had an ingrowing toenail? No one had that? Toothache? Painful. Just a little tooth. I was giving the example of the ingrowing toenail. I had that before. Just little bit of nail grows inside and it's so painful. Toothache. You can't sleep day or night. So much pain. It's just a little bit of pus caught behind the tooth. So much pain. How many diseases are there? How much the body is subject to pain? So physically, mentally, so many disturbances are coming. Adibhotic. Miseries caused by others. By other human beings, by mosquitoes, dogs barking, snakes biting, and adidaivik, too hot, too cold, too much rain, flood, earthquake, hurricane, natural disturbances caused by the demigods actually. So why are we suffering like this? An actually intelligent person should ask this and find the solution. The solution is given in Bhagavad Gita as it is, and the practical application of that is to take to the path of Krishna consciousness, by which we can practically realize how I am the servant of Krishna and how blissful and glorious it is to be a servant of Krishna. We think, I shall have a great career, I shall have a big position, but we are simply dancing dogs in the hands of Maya. So, better to dance according to Krishna's tune. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsab Bhritta Jare Joiche Nache Tare Toiche Kare Nritta. Krishna is the only Supreme Lord, and everyone else is his servant. And according to the way he pulls the strings, that way everyone is dancing. So better get in line with Krishna's dance and be happy in this life. Whether one is a doctor, an engineer, a panwala, or whatever one is, one should always remember Krishna. That is the essence of all advice. That remembrance of Krishna comes by chanting his names, by taking prasadam offered to Krishna, by associating with his devotees, by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, and in this life, centering one's life on Krishna. It's very simple, very practical, it works. It's not simply some pie in the sky, but it's a process that has worked for since time immemorial, and it's working even now. So, why not take it up? We have plenty of vacancies. Unlimited opportunities. How far can you go? You've come from India to America. Go a lot, there's a lot further to go. Beyond the heavenly planets, beyond Brahmaloka, beyond the Viraja River, beyond even Vaikuntha, to the land of Golok Vrindavan, where there are the pastimes of Radha and Krishna going on eternally. So the aim of a devotee is to be the humble servant of Radha and Krishna, stringing garlands for them, collecting forest flowers, arranging the bowers for them to meet. This is the goal of a devotee, simply to be a humble servant in the blissful pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, not to be a big monkey in this material world. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Anyone like to know more about the career prospects?
We're still waiting for the perks.
The perks is love of Krishna. If we're thinking what's in it for me, then we have the wrong attitude. What's going on here? Now recording. Yes, bhakti means to stop thinking what's in it for me and think, how can I serve Krishna? And actually our self-interest is fulfilled by that. As long as we're thinking aham mameti, I, me and mine, we're always frustrated. But as soon as we start to think, I am meant for serving Krishna, then immediately we lose all anxiety, because we know Krishna is protecting me. We have no anxiety. Very few cross over to the other side. Well, we don't see, because we're still on this end. Yes, there are struggles in Krishna consciousness. Maya is very strong, there's no doubt. But if we remain faithful on the path, then certainly Krishna will help us. It's up to us. Just like, how many brain surgeons are there? Not many. If you want to be a brain surgeon, you've got to be serious about it. If you want to be Krishna conscious, you've got to be serious about it. But the wonderful thing is that in Krishna consciousness, that even if we try and we're not fully successful, that is for our eternal benefit. Neha bikrama nashasti pratyavayana vidyate svalamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. In this endeavor there is no loss. We don't lose anything. If we don't become fully Krishna conscious in this life, then we don't lose anything. We carry it on to the next life. And by taking to Krishna consciousness, we're saved from the most dangerous fear of entering animal life. So that's the perks, if you like. Does everyone have Bhagavad Gita as it is? Anyone doesn't have, please take it. You'll have to give some donation, but whatever it is. But if you don't have it, you please should have it, because this is the most important book that everyone should read. Everyone's read it all? Who's read it all through? You're all reading?
I have a question about that. The last sloka, Sarvadharman Parityajya, that is usually considered as the ultimate solution in Sri Vaishnava philosophy.
Charam sloka.
Charam sloka. We call it Charam sloka.
Yeah.
But some of my friends who are very good devotees of this moment, they seem to tell me that there is something beyond Charam sloka.
Love beyond surrender.
They have not been able to give me a convincing answer for that.
Yes, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings begin where Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita leave off. That's actually the introduction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Prem Purushartha, that the actual, the real need of every person is to develop Prem, love for Krishna. So Sarvadhaman Parityaja, that is required. Prapatti. But just let's see what Krishna says here. Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Pabha. You're not supposed to say it. In our tradition we can. So there's Moksha Yishami. I will free you from all sinful reactions. Now just see, it's like Krishna's offering perks. But on the platform of pure love, one doesn't ask anything from Krishna.
For eternal service.
You surrender to...
He himself says you can ask me for eternal service.
You surrender to me, yes. But Krishna's offering that I will free you from all sinful reactions. But on the platform of pure love, one is prepared even to apparently commit sinful activities for the sake of satisfying Krishna. Just like, for instance, some in the Madhva Sampradaya, they have a very, what we consider to be a very strange conception, that Baladev is a jiva who, by his punya, became the brother of Krishna, but because he accepted service from Krishna as an elder brother, he became sinful. Yeah. Very strange conception.
Definitely strange in
Madhva. Yeah. Now, the gopis, they are the topmost devotees. That was demonstrated when Narad Muni once asked Krishna, that who are your topmost devotees? How can I understand who are your topmost devotees? And Krishna told you go to my different devotees and tell I have a headache. And what's the cure? You take the dust from the devotees' feet, put on my head. So he went to Brahma, and how is Krishna? He's very sick with a headache. How can it be cured? Can I take the dust from him? No. So that's very sinful. If anyone was to walk into the temple and touch their feet to the head of the deity, that would be considered extremely sinful. It is extremely sinful. And Narad said to the gopis, don't you know you have to go to hell? They said, well, go to hell, but Krishna should be relieved. So that is the platform of pure love, where there's only concern that for the sake of Krishna's slight happiness, I am prepared myself to personally suffer in millions and millions of lifetimes. So that could be said to be implicit in this shloka, but it's not fully developed as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described. We have that there also in your tradition, Tirumangayalva, apparently performing sinful activities, but for the sake of the Lord. So that was fully expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Love beyond surrender. Actually, when we've gone through Bhagavad Gita, then we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam, in which it stated at the beginning, dharma projita kaitava atra, that here all kinds of cheating religion are rejected. So Srimad Bhagavatam points to that prem beyond the thought of Krishna being the Supreme Lord. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam especially points to the Vraja Bhakti, the Vrajavasis, how they love Krishna without considering him as God, but they are in this material world. We are under the Mahamaya potency, by which we think Aham Mameti, I, me and mine. But in Vrajavas, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they think that they're also in Maya, in the sense that they don't consider to be free from Maya means to understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even higher than that conception is that the Vrajvasis, who consider Krishna as lover, friend, child, because their love is so intense that even if they know he's Bhagavan, but that he's Bhagavan doesn't seem very important to them because their love for him is so intense. Just like Mother Yashoda saw within the mouth of Krishna all the universes, and then she thought, oh, maybe he's Bhagavan. And then Krishna started crying, and Mother Yashoda thought, oh, I have to feed him milk. So this is Yogamaya, this intensity of love. This actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our great acharyas, has stated that the Sri Vaishnava philosophy, that is the Vitti Swarup, or the foundation of the Gaudiya teachings. What's the, just like Andal is very similar to the Gopis, but that we can say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described about him, Anarpita Chiring Chirad Karunya Avratirno Kalo Samapiyatum Unatajvala Rasa Swabhakti Shriyam, that he has appeared to give that which was not given for a very long time before, means not since the last day of Brahma. Out of his great mercy he has given in Kali Yuga when people are most disqualified. And what is that? Unatajvala Rasa. There's this rasa that we find in the Upanishads, Raso Vaisaha, that he is full of rasa. So Bhagavan means Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashashriya Jnana Vairagya Yashtreva Shannang Bhagya Itingena. Bhagavan means full of all opulences, all riches, all wealth, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya, all power, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge and all renunciation. So he is the supreme great. But over and beyond that, Raso Vaisaha, he rasa means that wonderful expression that comes from the interchange of love. So to Bhagavan, being great is not to him himself personally, his greatness, he's not so much concerned about it, but he's more concerned with the love of his devotees. So this feature of from our side of the Viraja Nadi, we have to see, oh, he's very great, I'm very small, I should serve him. But then, crossing beyond that, if we actually think that I am Krishna's, what does he want more than anything? Then even his one name, Stava Priya, he likes to be praised by the Vedic stutis and stavas. But even more, if Mother Yashoda chastises him, that's more pleasing to him, because that is that is love beyond consideration of greatness. Just like, to give a mundane example, the president of the country no doubt enjoys being praised, although he probably isn't praised that much nowadays. But that's the perks of the position, that you're supposed to, it's prestigious, and so people, well, there's respect, they have to respect the position. So to be in the position of Bhagavan is to be highly respected. But he, after some time, when you're respected, oh, you're so great, this, that, and the other, he may enjoy more to go home and his wife says, ah, you're always late and you're never home, you're always rushing off to these meetings, why don't you spend more time? And it's an expression, because it's said with love, even though she's nagging him, he actually enjoys that. Just like the example, the kings of old, they used to keep jesters. in their court, whose job was to make, was to publicly make fun of the king, because just like in Bengal, there's famous this Gopal Ban. Prabhupada used to tell the story. So one time, because in the court it's always very grave, and Maharaj Ki Jai Ho, and all this kind of thing. So the king would keep a jester. So one time Gopal walks into the court, and the king would always try to be making fun of him, but Gopal was always more smart. So the king, the Gopal came to the court, and the king saw him, and the king said, "Hey Gopal, what's the difference between you and an ass?" And Gopal, he walked towards the king, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he said, 5 steps. So there's anyone else said that, and it would be chop off his head. But he has the position to do that. So this rasa, this intimate rasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to introduce that unatajvala rasa, ujvala, unata ujvala rasa means the highest, most exalted, ujvala. Resplendent, I guess you would explain. I don't know how to say it in English. Resplendent, shining. Words they fail to explain. There's some limit to it. But this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to introduce more than anyone before, approaching Bhagavan with pure love, which is most pleasing to him. So that goes beyond Savadhaman Parityaja. We're still thinking of the perks. You do this and you get something. But beyond that is pure love. So actually the verse before that, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mang Namaskaru, this is this even more points towards bhakti. And there are so many shlokas in Gita. Ananya Aschintayanto Mang Ananya Cheta Satatam, this again and again. Ananya, Yomam Smarati Nityashaha, always thinking of me. So this points to Shuddha Bhakti, which is the actual message of Gita. So what is implicit therein is made explicit, particularly in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the teachings of the Acharyas, and especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, whatever the great Acharyas have taught, he has brought that to its culmination. And if you like to follow Sri Vaishnava path, that's very nice. We're not saying don't. There are very few people in this world who are following that. Of course, it's difficult to follow in the old traditional way, especially if you're living in America or in a modern Indian city where you're supposed to do puja for... Well, it depends. If you're a Brahmin, you're supposed to do puja for a few hours every day, but who's doing that?
Sri Vaishnava has gone down now.
It's gone down. There's some very, very sweet devotees I know from Sri Rangam, young men, and they're reciting the Divya Prabandhams with such faith, but they're computer engineers. And they're unhappy. They say, "We don't want to do this. We just want to stay in Sri Rangam and serve the Lord. But circumstances are such that we have sisters to be married and this and that. And what can we do?" So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as well as giving unatajvala rasa, has given the means, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, Nasjeva, Nasjeva Gatir Anyata. In this Kali Yuga, we can't follow all the principles as previously. It's not possible. But by Harinam, everything is complete. So that's practical. You can be a Sri Vaishnava and a Gauriya Vaishnava also. There are many like that.
I have a question. In Gita, you are explaining about the Sarvadharma Parityaja.
Yeah, Krishna explains.
Yeah, and you mentioned about one of the Bhagavata verses, Kaitava.
Dharma, yeah.
Projita Kaitavya.
Dharma Projita Kaitavya.
Another Rishabhdev's explanation.
Yeah, there are so many.
What's the difference between Dharma's explained here and seems to be...
Well, Dharma, that's a very big topic. Even what is Dharma? But basically here, when Krishna says Savadhaman Parityaja, that means Dehagata Dharma. Dharma in relationship with the body. I am Brahmana, Kshatriya. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that Nahang Vipro Nacha Narapatiya Nahi Napi Vaisho Na Shudra. I'm not a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaisheshura. I'm not Brahmachari. I'm not Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, but Gopi Bhatur Padakamalaya Dasu Dasa Nudasa. And the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis. It means to come to our spiritual identity. So all the worldly dharmas should be given up for the sake of the jiva dharma, or actual the dharma of the jiva, or sanatan dharma, which is that we are the servant of Krishna. Interestingly, although Krishna said this, he also urged Arjuna to fight, which was his Kshatriya Dharma. But in this case, his Kshatriya Dharma merged with his Sanatan Dharma because Krishna personally ordered him to do so.
So in the verse Dharma Prochitta Kaitava, what dharma are they implying there?
It means worldly dharmas.
Worldly dharma.
Particularly that's described in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, this dharma, artha, kama, moksha, the endeavor for this, that is considered Kaitava dharma, because this pancham purushartha, prem, the actual need of the jiva is prem. And of among these chatur varga, or the dharma, artha, kama, moksha, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, has said that tarma de moksha vancha kaitava pradhan. The biggest cheating or the biggest hoax is the desire for moksha. Because jaha hoite Krishna bhakti hoi antardhan. Because by the desire for moksha, Krishna bhakti is completely spoiled. So it's a big topic. You have the mental capacity to study all these things, probably, I feel. But it requires spiritual capacity also. One has to take to the practices of Krishna consciousness, then all these things can be understood.
The Rishabhadev explaining dharma, is it at the body level or?
No, fully spiritual level. He begins his teachings, Rishabhadev says this, Nayam deho deha bhajang riloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbujamge tapodivyam putuka yena sadvam shudyad yasmat brahma sokyam tunanta. He says that those who have accepted material bodies, they're simply working for that which is enjoyed by even the stool eaters, like pigs. So one should not endeavor for that, but rather one should accept tapo divyam, divine austerities, by which one can attain to brahma sokyam tvanantam. That means unlimited spiritual happiness. So from the beginning, he negates the bodily platform. Of course, this all has to be understood in context also. It's that as long as one is in this world, he has some worldly duties to perform. That's also there. But one should understand that the worldly duties are temporary and therefore less important. Spiritual duty, that is most important. That doesn't mean that one should be worldly, irresponsible in worldly matters, but that the focus should be on the actual goal of life. One should not be so much caught up in worldly matters that he has no time to our inclination for the actual purpose of life, which is to develop Krishna consciousness. These are important topics.